Welcome to Ethics Analytics and the Duty of Care. Just checking my controls here. And I have nobody in the live meeting with me. It was going to happen sooner or later. But that's okay. Not the first time I've given a talk to an empty room, and I'm sure it won't be the last time I give a talk to an empty room. Let's just check now and make sure things are running. So I'll open up the Activity Center and there we go, and it looks good. Just check here.
I'm sure it won't be the last.
Yep. Okay, so we're broadcasting live on YouTube, and of course I'm recording the audio. So, and I'm the only participant in this Zoom room chat session, but like I say, that's fine. We can do this. We will do this. So, the topic this week is ethical issues in learning analytics. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but I want to introduce first the assignment so that people have a good idea of what I'm looking at. So I'm going to share the screen here. So what you should be seeing now is my web browser, and you should be seeing the Activity Center. And there may be somebody watching live on YouTube. So if you are, I don't know if you are. I have no way of seeing whether you're watching. I suppose I could, but if so, welcome. And if you're watching this recording, welcome. So, but what I want to do is go to the course outline, and we'll jump into Module 3, Ethical Issues in Learning Analytics. And here's the task, examples of ethical issues in analytics. So I invite you to take a look at the list of all ethical issues, and I've created a list here, and you might think, perhaps reasonably, that we're missing an ethical issue. Oh, and we've got someone, we have a person. Hi, Mark. Oh, we're gonna need Mark to get his audio up and running and so on. Yes, I performed the unpardonable sin today of starting on time. I'm just teasing you, Mark. Oh, there he is. Welcome. Ooh. I'm hardly hearing you. I wonder why that is. No, I doubt that it's you. let's just check my microphone or my speaker settings. Oh, that's why. Okay. Try now.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, that's much better. Okay. Yeah, it was going to.
We're incorrect. I had to bounce around to find this one.
What was incorrect?
The Zoom links.
Oh, really? Oh, how weird. Oh, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, so I'm going to guess Sharita is, like I was frantically poking around finding it correctly. I did find it on one of the pages, but not on the Activity Center page.
Really?
Friday.
Oh.
So if you update the Activity Center link, maybe
Sharita. Yeah, I think reloading. Like, I did update the Activity Center link, but if you have it cached in your browser, You might need to reload that page. Let's see. Oops, join on Zoom. Oh, I've done, yeah, I see, I see what I've done. Something really stupid. Yeah, in the activity room, the link simply links to the activity room.
Oh, okay.
So,
that also makes me wonder where's Bernie, but I'll be right
back. Yeah. We'll crank up the volume a little bit here, too, so that I can hear him. So, well, let's fix that. Because it would be nice to have people coming into the right location. So I should have a... invite, contacts, email, copy invite link. And now I'll go to the Activity Center page. Course activity video, no, course activity slides. And yeah, there it is. Gee, and I was doing so well today. okay, and publish. All right, I've put the correct link now into the Activity Center. It might be too little too late, but at least it's there. And now I'll just reload it.
Sharita's email?
Sorry?
You have Sharita's email?
No, maybe in theory if she's subscribed, but no, I don't.
That's what I was thinking, if she's subscribed, but then.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Here we are. Well, okay, so what I was about to do is just to talk about the first assignment, or the first task. There's actually going to be two tasks in this module. I've posted one of them. The second one will be with the graph, and I'm just trying to finish off the code for the graph. If I don't finish off the code, we'll use Matthias's original code, which works fine, and it's a good exercise. But it's not 100% what I want, and I'm picky that way. So, let's come back then. So I'm going to share the screen so that people, including you, can see it on YouTube, or if you're in the live chat, you can see it, although it's just you. Oh, somebody's saying Zoom does not appear to be working. Maybe that was you.
It was me.
Oh, okay. Page.
At least the first one. I'm going to go back to YouTube. Probably create a feedback loop. Just to see.
Yeah.
Anybody up there. Yeah, Sharita says, yep, still running broken.
Oh, okay.
So let me get the proper link. Can you drop the link into the Zoom chat?
Yeah, I'll do that, in fact. Copy.
And I'll put it in the YouTube chat.
All right. So I have to break out of the share. So stop share. Chat. There's the link.
Now this is kludging something together.
This is kludging something together, but it just goes to show that we go above and beyond to make sure that our second person is able to join the chat. What other course would do that, aside from all of them? So let me try. Oh, there we go. We've got Sharita. I've just admitted her.
Okay.
And I guess she's just getting set up on microphone and video.
So I had this thought this morning, so I'll say it now so I don't interrupt your
flow.
That if we had an analytics of care set up, we would have reached out to Bernie to say, and if we had an ongoing learning community, then we'd have relationships and we'd reach out to Bernie and say, is everything okay? And is there anything we can do to help?
Yeah, exactly.
Since we're a camera community, that won't happen.
Yeah, it's one of the risks of being so decentralized, I suppose. Now, was that another person landing, or I don't know what that ding was.
No, just me making noises.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, for, I think it's the fourth time, I'm going to share my screen, and we'll go to the first task. And I've made it a lot more straightforward than last time. It's the same task, but it's more straightforward. So we'll go to the course outline. We'll go to this module, module 3. And here's the task. You can also just click on it and see it in its own page, its own glorious page. But the idea here now is that we're looking at and categorizing ethical issues in analytics. And this is actually an exercise other projects have done. And I'll actually even look at one or two in what I have to say a little bit later. But here's our list. Notice this time the page exists before the task. So these are all the different ethical issues that have come up that I could find, organized and classified by me. Now, I don't know if I've captured all of them. If you think I've missed one, click on Submit Your Example here. Give it a title, categorize it. I'll have to fix that drop down. give it a short description. Now I'm looking here for, you know, types of ethical issues. So if we look at, for example, surveillance, which is one that everyone brings up, right? So I've written a longer description than I would expect people to, but it's a type, right? If we look at lack of appeal, this will be a slightly shorter description. Again, I'm just providing an overview of it. So, and then that's the first part, right? Have a look at this list. See if I've missed any. If I have missed any, add it. Then the second part is to pick one of these. Could be one that you've added. Could be one that already exists. Pick it. And then read about it, and then see if you can think of, or see if you can find a paper, a website, whatever, that talks about this issue in particular, and click on the link to suggest it. And here, this is you're submitting a link, so we need the link title, whatever that might happen to be, the link URL, and then provide a short outline of the of whatever's on that page, that URL. So if it's an article, just write a quick summary of the article. If it's a product, it might be a product, so that raises the issue, write about that product. That's the task. And what we're doing basically is we're filling out this table with issues and examples of these issues so that we have references to show that, yes, people really have raised such and such as an issue. The second part, and I don't know if I have the link open at all. I'm just looking to see if it's in any of my tabs. I don't appear to have it. Is the one where we will, I know where I can find it. It's in my newsletter. Whoops. Go home. OL Daily. Here we go. So the second task, which I haven't posted yet, we'll use this page, the link for which doesn't appear to be working. That's kind of weird. Yeah, I'm having a day today, aren't I? This post. Wow. Oh, we got a third person in the waiting room. Jim Stoffer.
New record.
Yeah, okay. So I've put the link in properly in my web post. I'm having a day, I tell you. But I do know I can find it. Okay, copy. This is what happens when I think I'm overworked, is that I make silly mistakes. Here we go. So this is from Matthias Melcher. So Jim, I'm just describing the tasks right now. I'm assuming you're in the chat room. Let's just see if you're there. Oh yes, there you are. Hi Jim.
I had it on my list to get here at 10 today, but my supervisor ran the meeting 15 minutes over.
Well, yeah, that's what happens.
I'm making excuses, and I'm just delighted to actually be in here.
Yeah, well, welcome. And, this is your first session in the course that you've joined, although, of course, all the videos are available, including the first 10 minutes of this one. So,
been watching the videos, and actually, it was just before our meeting with the supervisor. I was watching your discussion from Friday on high speed, so I could get through a lot of it.
That's what people who know me in person wish they had, is a high speed button, so that it doesn't take as long to listen to me. Okay, so where I was talking about the second task. The first task is very similar to last week, where I ask people to add an issue if I haven't covered all of the issues or examples of the issues. Now the second task, we're going to use something like Matthias Melcher's project, and he's put the demo of it up here, and I'll just open it up. So now you can, how do you make it bigger or smaller? I've forgotten. Let's get help. move connected on. Doesn't say how to make it bigger or smaller. There's got to be a way. Oh, minus, minus, control, minus, minus, no. I know there's a way, I just don't know what it is. That's really weird, and of course, no. Let's try reloading.
So it's not zooming your browser window, is it?
Well, it's... I can zoom the browser window, but the problem is this canvas is way larger than the window I have for it. Well, anyhow, hopefully it'll render better in yours, and I don't know. I'm sure there's a way to make it bigger or smaller. Drag an icon to move it. Oh, well. Anyhow, On the left-hand side, we have, he called them motivations for learning analytics as opposed to applications or uses. That's pretty good too. These are all the things that we looked at last week. Over here on the right are the ethical issues, and that's the list of issues that I just showed you that I've compiled for this week. And as you can see, they're categorized into groups like predictive analytics, prescriptive analytics, etc. And similarly, the issues are categorized. But, and we'll be linking each of these to, you know, links or references as examples. The question is, what issues are raised by different applications? Let's take dashboards, for example. Does a learning analytics dashboard of your class, for example, raise issues of privacy? Oops. So click on Alt and then drag. I always forget how to do that. Click on Alt and then drag, and it'll draw a little line. Similarly, does dashboard raise the issue of content manipulation? Does plagiarism detection, I clicked on it, now I'm clicking on Alt and holding Alt down. Does that raise an issue of privacy? Does it raise an issue of fear and anxiety, etc.? Now, the way Matthias has done it here, he's got all of the links or all of the applications and all of the issues in one grand big chart. I'm going to try to break it down so that it's a bit more manageable, so you're not looking at everything mapping to everything, but you're looking at subsets. And then I'll just have you page through different subsets for as long as you want. But that's basically the idea, is to, whoops, I always press Shift instead of Alt. Let me Shift. No. But that's the idea. You just draw these links. So it's a pretty simple task. Then, the other thing that I'd like to fix, but this is the way it works now, right-click on the diagram, and then click on Export. And what that'll do, you can either open it with Firefox or save it. If you open it, it looks like this. It's an XML file. So there are all the issues. What's really interesting to us are all the links down at the bottom. And this will include the links that you've added. So this is of interest to me because what I'd like to be able to do is add these links to the graph that we're building in the online course that we're all looking at. So if you were to send this to me, if I can't figure out a way to just have this saved directly into the course without you having to export it and download it, I'll do that. Other, you know, what I'd like, right, is even a submit button or something, but even right click and then send to course. But if I can't do that in the time, then I'll give you a place where you can just click the click a web form in the course and upload it, and then I can take it from there and integrate it into the course graph. So the idea here is that you're helping build these relations between applications of analytics and the issues of analytics. And, you know, this would be really interesting if we had 100 or 1,000 people doing this, and then I could take all of these graphs that people did and amalgamate them together and give the links different weights for how popular they were. But we don't have 1,000 people, but such is life. It'll still be interesting to see what all of you come up with, and compare that to some of the things that we're looking at, some of the discussions that we're looking at with regard to ethics and analytics. So that's the exercise, that's the second task. and I'll turn it back over to you. First of all, do they make sense? And second, any questions?
So this time, instead of submitting an example, we're going to be drawing those connections for our second test.
Submitting the example is task one for this module. So I've set it up a bit easier, so that it's a bit easier. So if you go to the module screen, it's module three, and then click on the page that says all ethical issues, you can submit a new ethical issue here by clicking on that, or you can click on any one of these ethical issues and click on the link at the bottom to add a link, which is an example of
This is the URL, a piece of software or a website that does that.
Yeah, okay. But it works better this time. That is to say, it works this time. So, yeah.
I didn't get around to it until the weekend. So
that's fine. Yeah. Not a problem. So that's task one, is to add these, a link, maybe more. And then task two, which I haven't put on the module page yet because I'm just trying to write some software to make it work. But task two is to draw those links. And I don't know why it's not. Oh, I'm in the wrong module. That's why. There we go. So when task two shows up, it'll show up right underneath here.
Okay, so it's not posted yet.
No, it's not posted yet.
Okay. Because you have first and second, and so those are, and then there's another one, and you have a link to where we can draw those connections.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, I'll provide the link with that task, and it'll show up in the newsletter, so either by RSS or by email, whichever you're using, or website, whichever you're using. How's that sound?
Yeah, I like the idea.
I'm hoping it'll be fun too. But
as an example of a student that didn't read the instructions, of course, I put some links in today and added multiple categories, but realizing that I was sort of redefining them.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't know if I should ask you to delete all that and I can go back and add proper extension of categories. Or just let it ride.
are these categories of ethical issues?
Yes.
Okay. I'll probably just leave it for now. You see, part of what I'd like to do in the discussion at the end, and we didn't really do that last time because we got involved in other things, and that's fine, is to talk about the sort of thinking that we need to undertake when we're talking about ethical issues, categories of ethical issues, how to name them, how to describe them, etc. So having examples of what you put in, even if you now repudiate those examples, they're still examples of how someone thought at some particular point in time. So if not you, it could have been anyone, right? So we still have something that we can talk about. And, as I think about this, and, this thinking is sort of forming for me over time, as we go through this course, we're sort of emulating a lot of the stuff that AI people actually need to think about and go through as we go through these exercises. So we've had a labeling exercise, we've had a classification exercise, Now we have a linking exercise. And in one of the modules later on in the course, it's going to be structured along the lines of the decisions we make when we design AI and analytic systems. And we'll see at that time a whole bunch of these decisions that we've already gone through in our work through the course. And I think it'll give us a bit better of an insight. It's already giving me a bit better of an insight into the sorts of decisions that need to be made and how they impact our understanding of concepts as well as the ethics of these concepts. That's maybe how it's shaping out right now anyways, and that's already an unexpected but interesting thing to happen through offering this course.
So our errors and misunderstandings provide a record of learning, kind of like tell upgrading students, don't erase your answer, draw a neat line through it and put your new understanding there and you'll have a record of what you've learned.
Exactly. And so that's why I'm not going to remove your mistakes when you submit them, because we're going to go put them on video.
So that brings up another issue. Is it possible to go back and add new categories onto a post already made? I don't see how to do that.
I can do it, but no, what you've got access to is a submit, but not an edit function.
No
edit.
Okay. No. Yeah, because the article's good. I mean, I dropped in something about Chris Gilliard.
Yeah.
And I tackled bias, discrimination.
Yeah.
But they weren't used exactly the way you had presented them. And I probably could have invented a couple.
Yeah.
But now there's no way to edit. Okay, so,
no, but feel free to add more stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go here. Just as an aside, the way I'm designing this, and that, you know, like you're probably sitting there thinking, well, gee, why didn't you put an edit capacity into that? And aside from the horrible technical problems that it creates, although, you know, I did have an edit capacity before, and I have a whole permission system in Grasshopper to make that possible. But where I want to go with this approach is that individual people taking the course have their own instance of Grasshopper, and so have their own instance of a way of creating these, editing these, drawing the links, whatever, by themselves, and then it's the result of what you've done in your environment that gets harvested or aggregated by the course and then brought together with everything else. Can't do that in WordPress or Blogger. They just don't have the capacity, right? All they have the capacity to do is you write some posts. You know, when I was thinking about that even, I wanted people to suggest, for example, additional applications or additional issues. So what do I have you do? Write a post? Well, you could, but then how does the aggregator recognize that that post is intended to be an example of an application and put it properly into the database? And maybe if I had AI, it could do that, but I don't have anything like an AI that could possibly do that, and that introduces anyways the possibility of error into reading and categorizing your post. So better if you do it, better if you do it on your own system, but no such system gives you that capacity. There is no system that you can use where that's possible, at least none that I've found. You know, there's some concept mapping tools and things like that, and maybe there are ways to explore that. But, you know, the whole overall work with these examples, create these graphs, add these links, send it to a central course, nothing like that exists. Maybe this time next year. I'm still working on Grasshopper, the PLE edition, as well as Grasshopper, the course edition. And when I tried when I offered the course in 2018, I tried it with the two, and it failed miserably. But I'll try it again. I still have 2.5 years before I retire, so there's plenty of time to write a large and complex software application.
So here's an ignorant question. Can we go up a level, and think of using the internet, and now that APIs are so prevalent, with the group of people who have been trained in making those connections, we possibly just build this in the open, not using browser. And using APIs to harness these things. Is that theoretically possible? Again, I'm
wondering. Yeah. It's not only theoretically possible, I imagine it'll actually be done at some point. Grasshopper uses APIs to communicate between instances, so your personal learning environment would use an API to connect with my course. So that sort of exists, and you could connect with each other's instances with APIs as well. So that's what creates that kind of community, and that's how we would share, for example, things like information that I've botched the link to the live discussion. But
in that way we could all have our own unique platform.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And all of this should be open. So in theory you could use any platform, you know, as long as it abided more or less by the API. And what's interesting to me is the graph on your version would be different from the graph on my version, different from the graph on Sharita's version. Everybody has their own representation of the discipline or domain. And I think that's interesting. I don't know what the application for that is, but I think that's interesting. Jim, you had a comment or question earlier?
Yeah, I'm looking at the All Ethical Issues page, and it says submit an example. When I go to that submit an example, it's very familiar, the title, but the category still has your descriptive, diagnostic, predictive, rather than the categories that I'm seeing on the Ethical Issues page.
Quite right. And that's a coding error that I'll be correcting as soon as we're done this session.
I wasn't sure if I was misunderstanding something or I was skipping something, but it's okay. It's something you're still working on. That's fine.
Yeah.
I was writing a blog post last night and commenting on how I had been watching you struggle through on Tuesday, but I'd already looked at the the page and knew that you had succeeded, so it was kind of a weird time warp.
Yeah, that's kind of odd that way, isn't it?
Well, I mentioned it in my blog post. Not that I need a badge or anything, but
I put it in there. The logic of asynchronous learning.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That was my question.
So with your indulgence, I have. Well, do I want to do that? No. Well, I don't know. I prepared some slides to introduce this module. Are you guys interested in that, or do you want to keep discussing? I'm seeing two. Sharita, what are your thoughts? You seem very indecisive.
I'm trying to make little things work. So I only have half the attention.
Yeah. I hear
I'm
you.
I'm gonna have to leave very shortly, so I'm not, you know, the person you should be asking, probably Mark or Jim.
All right. So if you check the recording of this later, it'll be at about the 42 minute mark, and you can pick up on that. All right. Let me just. It's not a long thing, but it would be nice to have it And if I can do it now instead of doing it separately. There we go. And set up. Sorry, it takes a little bit of time because Microsoft always wants to default to showing a slideshow on the entire screen. And I never want, not even when I'm presenting, I never want a slide presentation on an entire screen. All right, so let's come back here now. Let's see how we go. There it is. Voila. So now you should be seeing my beautiful slides.
Not yet, but it takes a minute.
There we go. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it needs to load some large and beautiful images. I just love the colors on this image. Okay, so yeah, this is to introduce the third module of the course, and it's hard to believe that we're already into module 3. But where we're at now, we found a ton of applications of AI and analytics and learning, far more than just the typical applications that people think of, like predicting how students will do or recommending content to them. There's a much wider range of applications than that, and I hope that that part you're convinced of now, that there are many, many applications of AI and learning, many benefits that result. So it's not really an option just to say, no, we just won't use this technology. There's just too much benefit. But that's where the ethical issues come from, of course. Taking all of these applications into account is important because it's precisely in these wider accounts of analytics that the relatively narrow statements about ethical principles are seen to be lacking. People talk about bias and they talk about surveillance, to name a couple, or privacy perhaps. And yeah, these are concerns, but they are by no means the only concerns, nor is addressing any of these concerns a simple matter when you're looking at dozens and dozens of different uses of analytics and artificial intelligence. And what's really interesting about this technology is that it's possible to use it correctly. It's possible to use it precisely as designed and still reach a conclusion or an outcome that would violate our moral sense. Maybe not everybody's moral sense, but our own personal moral sense. And it's possible to use analytics and AI correctly and still do significant cultural and social harm. The evidence, well, look at Facebook, right? We don't need to look any further than Facebook. We've got the Facebook papers being released this week. The great revelations that happened last week, and it's just the latest in a long series of scandals about Facebook. But what exactly are the ethical issues here, and how do we address them? I read a lot of times is writing that seems to suggest that we could address the issues with Facebook simply by blocking offensive accounts. Well, for one thing, that's kind of a whack-a-mole strategy, right? They keep popping up and you keep blocking them, but they never go away. They're like spammers. But also, it might be that the moral and ethical problems aren't simply problems about offensive content. A lot of people have suggested that there are fundamental issues with Facebook's algorithm. Or even yesterday I read an article about Twitter's algorithm and revelations that it favors right-wing politicians, right-wing issues. Others have suggested that maybe it's Facebook's incentives that are wrong. The incentive to link, to engage, drags us deeper and deeper, as they say, into the rabbit hole, deeper and deeper into more and more radical content. And again, that's not something that just plagues Facebook. This sort of accusation was leveled at YouTube not too long ago, and that's where it first surfaced. Or the problem might be just who Facebook serves and what they want. The purpose of Facebook is to make money. It's a public company. They have a fiduciary duty to focus on making money. But making money as an objective when running AI and analytics may by itself cause cultural and social harm. So I think all of these considerations together speak against simple and superficial understandings of the ethical issues in AI. There is a widespread demand that something be done, right? It's a rising market. I'm doing this course, and I started my own personal investigation because 2 years ago, the president of NRC made a promise to the government of Canada that NRC would look at the ethics of AI. And there wasn't a whole lot done about it because it's kind of hard to do that. So I took it on myself to address the issue. So I'm hoping for an attaboy from the president. No, I'm just kidding. And there are other things being done at NRC now around ethics and AI. A number of papers have been written. But at the same time, we at NRC and elsewhere in our field generally are working in an environment of misinformation about the development, complexity, and riskiness of AI, of all the different applications, all the different issues. We do need proper debate about its development. But again, this document from the World Economic Forum that I'm referring to also says something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's a fallacy to believe that these issues cannot be addressed through regulation. Well, I don't know how they know that, because I don't know that. And I'm not going to say I'm smarter than them, because I'm probably not, but I mean, if I don't know that, probably it's not proven to be true. Don't want to give myself too much credit there. UNESCO talks about managing the discussion and, points to the two sides of it. The dangers of, or the consequences of misuse can be devastating, they say, and I think that's quite true. Particularly in countries where if the wrong information reaches the wrong people, it can have very serious personal consequences. On the other hand, hate, division, and lies are good for business. This is where the legal imperative to make money works against our social and cultural needs. Also, global inequality is mirrored online. And I was just thinking this morning about all the stuff that I've read on ethics, analytics, and so on, how much of it's coming out of private elite universities and associated academics, and the countries that it's coming out of, including our own here in Canada, but Britain, United States, Canada, Australia. And are these the societies and cultures we want determining what counts as ethical in AI? I don't think we have a good history here. I mean, there are many things that these societies and cultures have done that is good, but there's no question that they've played a major role in producing the global inequality that is now mirrored in the online world and mirrored in analytics. On the other hand, the potential benefits are enormous. AI and analytics could end the need for work. That would be pretty significant. But, says UNESCO, we need to agree on international AI regulation. Again, is regulation going to be what solves the problem? I think we need to dig deeper, hence the purpose of this course. I think we need to dig deeper, not just into the issues, but the nature of the sorts of issues and the environment around these issues that comes up. And I only just found this diagram today, and I haven't had a chance to study it in detail, but it really it brought out a concept to me that really helped a lot. It's actually looking at the quality of a clinical environment, but it seems to characterize the discussion of ethics and morality a bit more generally. And when I looked at the diagram, I realized that it maps point for point to this course. The different things that we have to consider in ethics are not just ethical rules, ethical principles, what's right and wrong, but rather a complex set of interrelated factors: moral climate, moral community, moral identity, distress, sensitivity, agency, and integrity. And without a whole lot of work, as you can see with the light orange text, I was able to map each of those to one of the modules in this course. It wasn't a big force to do that. Now, how well that matching stands up to closer scrutiny, I don't know. But nonetheless, I think it still gets at the idea that our understanding of ethics isn't simply an understanding of what's right, what's wrong, that there's a lot more nuance than that. And that's why, you know, when I encounter statements that there is a consensus on ethics and analytics, you know, I really wonder about that. And there's a study, for example, from Fjeld and others suggesting that we have reached this consensus, and the links to it there are on the slide. And I spent a lot of time studying this document in particular. These researchers looked at a set of ethical principles and guidelines. We'll be doing much the same exercise in the next module. And they mapped those to the ethical issues that arise. And when you look at them, you look at this chart that they present, and it looks like, oh yeah, everybody has reached this consensus on ethics and analytics. We all have this common sense of what the ethics are. Again, you look at who produced all of those documents on AI guidelines and ethics, and they're all coming from basically the same demographic. So that should be one flag. But more to the point, when you look at any of these ethical issues in any sort of detail, the consensus falls apart. Yes, it's true. 3, 4, 5, 8, 10, 20 different codes of ethics say something like privacy is important. But when you ask them, what do they mean by privacy? They're working with 3, 4, 5, 18, 20, 40 different definitions of privacy, and where the importance of privacy plays out in different places. And even more, when you get out, when you go outside the narrow domain of studies addressing ethics and artificial intelligence and look at wider discussions of ethics and privacy generally, that consensus really falls apart. A couple of examples here on this slide. One from Public Library of Science. The headline for that article is "Sharing is Caring, but is Privacy Theft?" And I think that's a pretty good question. How do we do open science with privacy? What are the ethical decisions there? And it's not simply protect privacy, end of discussion. Another example, the document on the left is a representation of the Panama Papers. The Panama Papers, 11.5 million documents, etc., describing how people are avoiding taxes by secretly stashing money in anonymous bank accounts in Panama. Now, is that the value we want preserved in AI analytics and learning generally? And it's not clear to me that it is. Those are just two examples out of many that I could draw into the discussion here on the issue of privacy. And privacy is just one of the issues about which there will be many different points of view and perspectives, different definitions, different statements of what's important and what's not, and crucially, different statements about what's ethical and what's not. So this is the stage where we're at. This is the last slide, that's why I'm not moving it forward. This is the stage where we're at now in this course, the stage where we look at what all of the ethical issues are that people have talked about and try to find not just, you know, where they've used some words in common. And we can't avoid doing that because we have to work in words, but to try to find all of these examples of where these issues are discussed to see the different definitions, the different perspectives, the different understandings of the issue. And when we understand the ethical issues of analytics, I think that we'll be in a position to say more about whether there is a global consensus on what ethics and analytics should be. So that, like I said, was the last slide. I really should have a nice closing slide. But that's what at least I'm up to in this module. And we still have a little time for comments, questions, reactions. Nothing?
Well, I always hesitate because I often first, so I'm stepping back.
Mm-hmm.
But
any thoughts, Jim?
You mentioned a global consensus and how access is privileged. You and I are in Canada. I think, Mark, you're in the U.S. How do we bring in... What are some mechanisms we can use to bring in marginalized voices?
That's a good question.
I'm not sure I know how to do that, but I think it's... And especially when most of this course is in English.
Yeah.
You know, how do we bring those other voices in?
Yeah, and let's be clear, and we should be clear, they're probably not going to be in this course, at least in this offering of the course, because there aren't that many people in it. And we all seem to share the same demographic, and we can't avoid being what we are. But I think it's very clear, and I think you make the point, that these other voices should be heard. And that, you know, any discussion of the need for the ethics, what the ethical issues are, and what the resolution of them would be, requires this global consensus. And that's why I have that section on the duty of care sitting there near the, well, it's near in the second half of the course. Because overall, that's a philosophy that brings in many of those aspects. And, you know, again, you know, there are ongoing discussions of AI and ethics that, you know, I'm watching and listening to and sometimes offering comments to, where this need is just simply not considered. And in fact, contributions from people outside the field of technology simply aren't considered as needed. You know, if it's a technical issue, we'll solve it internally and we'll present you with a solution. That seems to be the attitude. And, you know, there's no way, right? At least I don't think so. I don't think either of you think so either, because based on what I've heard from you in the past, well, Jim, based on what I've heard from you in 5 minutes.
I'm thinking that AI translation, I don't think it's there yet, but that might help bring some diverse voices together.
Yeah, it does help. It helps quite a bit. No, it helps me quite a bit. I said good morning to a friend in Chinese not too long ago and got good morning and his name in Chinese all correct. And he was quite surprised at this. You know, he was like, how did you do that? Because, you know, he doesn't even present his Chinese name when he's communicating with us in English. But it was possible. But it's not easy yet. You know, I have a, publish on Twitter, publish on WordPress, etc. capacity that I'm building in Grasshopper. I'd like to have it publish in French, publish in Spanish, or publish in all languages. Or even better, just my browser just converts whatever I'm reading into the language of my choice. But we're not there yet. Getting there. But
we're really close.
We're really close.
I was reading a Dutch website in Chrome.
Right.
And I actually am wondering if the original post was written in English and then used Chrome to translate it in Dutch, because there were no grammatical errors that I saw.
Oh, well, it wasn't a native English speaker then.
I don't know.
Yes.
You know, I don't know the person. It's just somebody I stumbled onto.
Yeah.
Working at open access indie web kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it may be a native English speaker that posted up in the natural right now. That was what I was thinking. Yeah. The translation was too good.
Yeah.
Compared to other things. It'd
be interesting to hear someone like Yop tell us whether the Dutch was any good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yes, you have no way of knowing.
But, you know, even the translation is just the first step. I've had quite a few correspondences with people in Arabic over the years. And it's not simply that they speak a different language, but the whole character of how they express themselves is different. You know, there's the obvious, there's the religious overlay on everything. But then also the way they relate to other people, the way they relate to each other, it's just a fundamentally different way of expressing oneself. And the translation system translates it literally. But I don't think the literal translation is really getting at what they're actually saying to me. Yeah, and we get that in French even as well, where there's a lot of idiomatic expressions that Google's getting better at translating, but still some of them creep through.
Yeah, I'm taking a course in intercultural communication right now. That's what it focuses on. You know, there are these cultural ways of speaking that we're not even aware of. It may, you know, at some point we're going to come to where it's just a little too complex to actually get the full meaning.
Yeah.
You know, even with human, a layer of human translation, talking with human translation, it's still, it would take a, you know, it would take a United Nations lifetime expert type person to actually communicate most of the meaning, and then there's those things that just don't communicate.
Yep.
And that's where we can't put aside relationships, because having a relationship with someone will prevent me from making a certain amount of wrong assumptions based on just hearing certain words.
Yeah,
and that's where trust and assuming good intentions and all these parts of a relationship smooth over by this little thing.
Now, is that a bias we can code into AI?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, assuming good intentions.
Yeah, keep that question in mind for, I think, unit 6 or module 6 or 7, when we go back and talk about how we're building our AI systems and the decisions we make. Can we build trust and relationships into it? You know, I would argue that different topographies will produce different results along those lines. I'm much, you know, I tend to prefer something that might be called a community of communities model, where we're not trying to connect everyone to everyone all at the same time. But even the community of communities model, you need to form communities from different cultures. And people tend to associate with their own culture. So, well, that's our time. And I'm sensitive not just to your needs, but also to the needs of the people watching on YouTube, either live now or later on. But through the rest of the week, I'll be adding more discussion of these issues. I'll be aggregating and reading your blog posts for sure and putting them in the newsletter. Uh-oh. Yeah, count on it.
It's not just me that freezes.
And I'll be adding that other task and trying to make that work. And I'll also be catching up on some of the stuff that I didn't cover from last week because I had horrible technical problems that ate 2 full days out of my life. But I'm still having a blast doing this, so I don't care that it ate 2 days out of my life, but I have fallen behind in some of the stuff that I want to distribute. So you'll be getting all of that in the newsletter through this week, and then, of course, we'll get back together on Friday and talk about it.
Yeah, I have a strategy planning session I can't get out of on Friday. I put it in my calendar just in case it gets dropped. By the way, I like that you've added calendar links to it. That's really helpful.
Good. I'm glad it was.
Yeah, mostly it's like by the weekend I have time to catch up and then dabble in.
Well, that's fine. That's why these sessions are recorded.
That's great.
So that you can benefit from that. You know, this whole MOOC is an experiment in how do we make the whole MOOC accessible and useful and open to people. So, and so I'm trying to do that. There's more stuff I'd like to do. I wish we had a live Shoutcast audio broadcast, but we don't have that. But maybe in the future. All right, then. I'm going to wave goodbye and tell you I'll see you all next time when I see you again.
Do you have a minute, Steve, after you start recording?
Yeah. Stopped. Live stream. Okay, we're no longer recording.
There you go. So this has brought up an issue that I one of my hobby works.